Good morning, Chair.
I don't know, my gadget does not unmute my picture. I don't know what is the issue. It says your video cannot be started under said view mode. I don't know what is that. Okay, but let's start the meeting. The meeting shall be opened. And we let us observe the moment of silence for meditation and of prayer. Thank you very much. The meeting is duly opened. Are there apologies, Nasipa? Nasipa, where are you? Am I speaking alone?
We can hear you.
We can hear you, Chair. We can hear you loud and clear.
No, Sipo, is there any apologies? No, we are secretaryless here.
Hey, morning, Chair.
Yeah. Is that Bellum?
No, it's Comrade Mahlovo.
Deputy Minister Mahlovo.
Yeah. Morning, leadership, and morning to the committee. On our side, Chair, Matsingwane has apologized. And I'm also going to request an early departure because I've just landed in Maritzburg. This program we're doing, but I'm here with the DG leading the team.
Now, if you are going to leave Matsingwane, apologize to the DC. It is in Stockholm. Where is the who's going to be leading the team now?
No. I'm saying I'm going to leave early because around 12, I need to be addressing a women's event. I'm leading the team myself.
Okay, so you are going to be leaving at around about 12. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Any other person with an apology? Because I can't see, I seem to be not getting Nosipo to talk to us. But the danger is Nosipo, if you don't talk to us and you are supposed to be taking minutes, how sure are we that you are in the meeting?
Good morning, Chairperson. I think Nosipo is having some connection problems. I think she's going to come back now.
So are you going to be acting on their behalf up until then? Well, some point must take minutes.
It's recording. The meeting is being recorded. I think she'll be able to catch up. But I can share the agenda for you.
Okay.
So long.
That being the case, let me officially welcome everybody and open the meeting. And I think we really need to appreciate the fact that after this long recess, we are all together with no apologies that have been read. I'm sure they might come if there is there, they shall come. In the process, you shall know that in the process time, we had quite a lot of positive activities that took place. Amongst those is just the recent finalized BRICS meeting. And we have realized that the BRICS family has grown tremendously. We must appreciate that point, led by ourselves. There is also the results that we have just received of the elections outcome in Zimbabwe, ZANU-PF. In the meantime, there was also the Women's League Conference of the ANC that elected some among ourselves into offices. Of utmost importance is that amongst ourselves, there is a member who has been elected into the Provincial Executive Committee of the ANC in Mpumalang in the name of Honorable Tseke. And I know that all of you were involved in a number of by-elections in your regions and branches and provinces. Well done on all and well wishes for all of you who have been successful. And of course, this is the grand rehearsal of the bigger event in 2024. And out of that, we will then be building blocks onto those particular processes. That being said, you're all welcome. Item 4, I must say that I will also be traveling to Gauteng. My flight is 1 o'clock in Hoedspruit, I'm in Nakonok. Around 11, past 11, I will get into the car, but I'll still chair the meeting from that route. I'm just simply saying I will move from where I am into a traveling mood. But I will be in a position to can continue sharing the meeting. I know that Honorable Tseke is also traveling to Gauteng. I don't know what time, but she's needed in Gauteng. She's deployed there for a party political program, I'm told. I'm not sure what time she's traveling. Thank you very much. Can we get into item 4?
Thank you, Chairperson. We are presenting on the cumulative 23-24.
Don't you want Honorable Mashawa to introduce the item and then allow you to talk to us?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. And once again, congratulations for our whip for being part of the PEC at home in Mpumalanga. And thanks for welcoming remarks. On our behalf, Chair, we don't want to waste time. We'll allow the DG to make the presentation on our first quarter performance. And when we are about to close, then we'll be able to take the discussion on the issues that members will raise and some of the key activities that, as a ministry, we are busy this week with. Thank you very much. Let's allow the DG and the team to present the first quarter report. Thank you very much, Chair. DG?
DG Phillips?
Thank you, Chairperson. We're just trying to get the presentation to move. It's not moving down. We've moved it on our side. We can see it on the screen on the next slide, but it's not moving down on the screen. Can you just give us a minute, Chair, please, to try and get the technology to work? We could take it down and put it back up again, please.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry.
You can see it's not moving. Oh, okay. Can we go to the introduction slide, please? So in the introduction, Chairperson, I'm going to focus on progress that we've made with institution and legislative matters in the last quarter, because we've made some quite substantial progress in that area in the last quarter and over the last year. So for about a year now, the Regulator Commission has been in place, appointed as an advisory body by the Minister to advise the Minister and the regulation branch to assist with the strengthening and improvement of the regulation function. Decision-making regarding the reconfiguration of the water boards has been completed,
and is an advanced stage of implementation. And the processes of reconfiguration, disestablishment, and merging of water boards are at an advanced stage and will be completed in the coming months. We've also moved forward in terms of finalizing the creation of catchment management agencies, as has been in the plans of the department for a long time and as is in the National Development Plan. So we now have three additional catchment management agencies, the Pongola Ntumkulu, one in KwaZulu-Natal, the Ntumbubu Tsitsikamma in the Eastern Cape, the Vaal Orange in the Free State, Gauteng, Northern Cape, and some parts of the Northwest. The operating area for the Brira Khorit CMA has been extended to include the Berg Olifant area.
Now, who is that?
Hello? Chair, I think it's Honorable Tseke.
But Tseke, why do you do that?
You must tell me that everybody.
It's Tseke who's disturbing our meetings, Chair. Cannot request him to mute.
Tseke, please, man, mute your phone, man. That's a brief talk.
So also in terms of the institutional developments with regard to catchment management agencies, the operating area for the Brira Khorit Catchment Management Agency has been extended. Also recently, we released the Blue, Green and No Drop Watch Reports publicly in June, and we'll be releasing the full Blue Drop and No Drop Reports by the end of September. Honourable members will recall that we do the Blue Drop and the Green Drop Reports in alternate years. So last year, we released the full Green Drop Report. This year, we're only releasing the Green Drop Watch Report, but we're going to release the full Blue Drop Report and the full No Drop Report this year, and then we'll release the full Green Drop Report again next year. And we're just busy finalizing some verification of data with some of the municipalities. It's taken a little bit longer than we expected, but we're on track. We've collected all the data, we've done all the detailed assessments of all the drinking water systems in the country, and we've looked at all their test results over the past year. So there's just a matter of some verification, giving the municipalities a chance to comment on the results, but that will be finished shortly, and then we will issue the Blue Drop and No Drop reports by the end of September. Next slide, please. We've also been focusing on the transformation of the irrigation boards into water user associations. In April, the minister issued a gazette notice for the remaining irrigation boards to prepare and submit their proposals for transformation into WUAs by the end of July, and wrote letters to all the individual remaining irrigation boards, notifying them about the directives, the timelines, and the submission process. Our CMOs and CMAs and proto-CMAs held meetings with the irrigation boards to clarify the notice and expectations and procedures to be followed over the past few months. By the end of July, approximately a fifth of the remaining irrigation boards had submitted transformation proposals. Most of them requested extensions due to the complexity of the change process and the need for stakeholder consultations. So we're recommending to the minister that they be granted those extensions, but on condition that that new deadlines are set and that they do indeed submit in due course their transformation plans. Next slide, please. In terms of legislation, we've very recently, in the past few days, formally submitted the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency Bill to Parliament. This is a major milestone for us, and we look forward to engaging with the committee regarding the processing of this very important bill, which is going to enable us to raise finance on the markets for national water resource infrastructure in a way in which we can't do currently with the TCTA, because now, once the bill is passed, we will now have an institution with a very substantial balance sheet, which will own all of our infrastructure, the dams and related infrastructure, and have the revenue streams associated with that infrastructure, which can be used to as a basis for borrowing in the markets to enable us to accelerate our investment in national water resource infrastructure to mitigate the risk of shortage of water becoming a constraint to economic growth and development in the future. We've also been putting a lot of attention on focusing on finalising amendments to both the Water Services Act and to the National Water Act. And we've now completed those amendments to both acts, and we've taken them through the cluster process in government. And both acts are currently en route to cabinet or to request cabinet approval for them to be published for public comment. The amendments to the Water Services Act are quite substantial and include reforms that we believe are required to address the financial and service delivery sustainability challenges of the water services sector at municipal level. The amendments to the National Water Act focus on enhancing and strengthening regulatory aspects with regard to the management of our water resources, but also focus on empowering the minister and the department to achieve our equity and transformation objectives to address past imbalances. And further, the amendments are intended to clarify certain clauses of the existing Act, which have resulted in different interpretations and applications of the law. So we are hopeful, if things go according to plan, honourable members, that within the next few weeks, we'll be able to publish these two amendment bills for public comment. Next slide, please. In terms of the reconfiguration of the water boards, we've included two quite detailed slides for the information of the honourable members of how far we are with the reconfiguration of the water boards in the process. I won't go through all the detail in the interest of time, but perhaps for the members to note, as I indicated earlier, that there has been a lot of progress and that many of the processes are nearing completion or due for completion in September or October. Thank you very much. The next slide. So, as I indicated, Chairperson, we thought that we'd focus in our introduction on this progress that has been made with regard to institutional development and legislative development by the department over the past few months, because there's been quite a lot of progress in these areas. I would now like to hand over to Bob Alwa to present to us on the non-financial performance of the department in terms of the APP for the last quarter. Bob Alwa.
Thank you, DG. Good morning to the honourable members and to my colleagues. This slide you see in front of you just compares the non-financial and financial performance for the first quarter. I would like to indicate that overall, the department's performance indicates a slight regression compared to the same period in the previous financial year. But if you look at the financial performance, there's a slight improvement compared to the same period of the previous financial year. Then the details on the underperformance will be detailed in the subsequent slides. So if you just go to the next slide, and then I will indicate. Okay, if you look at the overview of the department's performance, you'll see that currently we achieved 65% of the planned targets for the quarter, partially achieved 19, and 16% is not achieved as planned. And then the slide also indicates the performance program, indicating that program one achieved 63% of the performance, which is a slight regression compared to the previous financial year. But water resources management indicates an 80%, which is an improvement compared to the same period in the previous financial year. Water and sanitation services management indicates a slight regression compared to the previous financial year and is currently sitting at 42%. If you then look at the preferential regulations, this is just to indicate that in terms of procurement from small, medium, and micro enterprises, for the quarter, we procured 51% from a target of 30% procurement. And then in terms of the exempted micro enterprises, 32% was procured from a target of 15%. In terms of qualifying small enterprises, we procured 19% from a target of 15%. Then the next slide indicates the procurement from the designated groups. This is an indication of a procurement from companies that have agreement ownership of 50% and above. The department procured 56% from a target of 40% procurement. We have also indicated the contract values of what was awarded to these companies in the same slide. From the youth owners owned companies, we procured 10%. And the value of those awarded companies is over 100 million. And then from persons with disabilities, we procured 2%. And the value awarded to those companies is just over 27 million. If you then go to the detailed performance program one, these are the staff programs. This is just to indicate to you that none of the sub-programs actually achieved 100% of their planned targets. But in the subsequent slide, this is just an indication to show you the summary of the achievement per sub-program for all the sub-programs in program one. And then if you go to the next slide, this is just to indicate the areas of underperformance in terms of the departmental management and corporate services. And then there where we did not implement 100% of our planned risk and also our vacancy rate based on the changes in the organizational structure is still relatively high for engineers and scientists. If you go to the next slide, it just talks through the financial and recovery plan and expenditure and debtor days, which the CFO will go into detail when he's presenting the financial performance. If you'll allow me, Chairperson, I will go through to the next program, which is water resources management. This slide indicates that five of the programs, the sub-programs, achieved 100% of what they had planned, and only two in that program did not achieve 100% of their planned targets for the quarter. This slide indicates that the areas of achievement for all those programs that have performed during the quarter. These are just the two slides that are indicating the performance. If you go to slide 22, this is just an indication of the areas of partial performance within the water resources management. We are still behind in terms of our infrastructure build program, in terms of having some of our projects in preparation for implementation on those that are under construction. And we have also indicated the projects that are now affected by those delays, and the details of those areas of underperformance are also indicated in that slide. If you also go to the next slide, which is slide 23, It is also a continuation of the areas of underperformance under the water resources infrastructure management in terms of completing or having one project under construction. We've also indicated that we just delayed in the construction of the Bloemhof Dam, and also we also delayed in terms of the conveyance systems rehabilitation program. If you then go to the water resources regulation, we are reporting a partial performance of the department in terms of the water use authorization, which is within the required 90 days. And we are still having issues because we have, although we have ring-fenced the functions, but we have not finalized the recruitment process to have dedicated resources to assist us in fast-tracking this target. Also, in terms of water users monitoring, we have deferred some of these water users monitoring, and also in terms of just completing the investigation reports for what was reported in terms of non-compliant cases investigated. If you look at the third program, which is water services management, this slide indicates the two programs that have achieved 100% of what was planned for the quarter, and the four that did not meet their targets for the quarter in question. Then the subsequent slide, which is slide 26, just indicates high-level summary per program of what was achieved per sub-program. And then the next slide, which is slide 27, is just disaggregating the provincial performance in terms of projects that are funded through the grants, just to indicate to the honorable members that we are still also behind in terms of our bulk, overall bulk implementation infrastructure construction. We should have been as planned for the quarter at 90 projects under construction. Also, in terms of completing our multi-year projects, we should have at least completed 8 by the end of the quarter. In terms of water services infrastructure, we currently sitting at 265. We should have at least had 315 projects under construction. Also, in terms of completing those water services infrastructure projects, we should have at least completed 45. In terms of the bulk for facility infrastructure, we currently have 8 projects under construction. We should have at least had 9 of the projects under construction. Also, that slide indicates that the department also implemented 2 additional interventions, which now brings the total interventions that we have in to 5. And those interventions are in the Free State, talking to Machabeng and Maluti Apofing. And then if you go into the areas of underperformance, this is just the number of water supply systems assessed for water losses. We also are slightly behind in terms of making sure that there's a consultation with the provincial offices. And the DG also mentioned in terms of the publishing of the no-drop assessment program. And then we look also in terms of the water services. We had planned that we should have all the municipalities registered. It's just one that did not register in our online system. And then also in terms of our sanitation integrated plan, we just having to have the report planned and completion by the end of July. I had indicated in terms of the regional bulk infrastructure grant, the areas of a partial achievement. This is just a disaggregation in terms of the size of the projects. This is indicating that the delays are currently sitting in our mega projects. Those are that are costing a billion and above. And also the large projects, which are between 250 million to just below a billion for construction and also completion. Also, we are also indicating in that next slide where the delayed province, it is in the Western Cape for the budget for facility infrastructure project. where it is delayed in terms of design by the said municipality. Also, we had actually had to prioritize the concluding of our blue drop assessments, and therefore it affected our ability to just complete our assessments for the non-compliant water supply systems. Also, we come to the Water Services Infrastructure Grant. This is an indication of the areas of partial performance for all those provinces that are delayed and reasons, and also completion projects. Also, that slide indicates that we had planned to at least have eradicated 500 projects in both the Free State and the Northern Cape, but we still are finalizing bulk infrastructure and also working on certain specifications to provide engineering services within the Northern Cape space. That is the last slide for non-financial performance. The subsequent slide relates to the financial performance. Thank you, DG Nunes.
Thank you very much, Babawa. We'll now ask Frans to present to us the financial performance information for the last quarter. Frans?
Thank you, DG, and good morning to the portfolio committee, Deputy Minister. Chairperson, I'll be presenting the quarter one financial report for the department, including the water trading entity. Slide number 34, Chairperson, reflects the total appropriation of the department for the 23-24 financial year, which is 22 billion, of which we have now spent 3 billion. We plan, Chairperson, in terms of our approved drawings, to have spent 3.6 billion. We are behind the drawings with 526 million, and I will explain those in the subsequent slides. So what makes up the variances, starting first with compensation of employees? There, Chairperson, due to the wage agreement that has been reached by government and labor, we had overspent by 9 million. It's just a difference between what we have planned to spend and the actual spending due to the financial implications out of the implementation of the 23-24 wage settlement. I must confirm, Chairperson, that there are engagements with National Treasury, and all these deviations will be corrected with the adjustment budget that will be put through around September. And on goods and services, we also have overspending for the quarter of 13.9 million. That is due to the invoices that we paid in April. They related to the period ending 31st March. However, due to systems errors, which we also reported when reporting on the fourth quarter, we could not process those. And those invoices are currently included in our rollover applications to a National Treasury. And again, on transfers and subsidies, we plan to present to transfer 625 million. However, during this quarter, we had to reprioritize our budget relating to transfers to water boards. That is due to interventions that the department was embarking on, including the Hammond's Kraal and intervention maturing. And we also had to make provision revised allocations for the Valhamahara project, as well as the Velvet Duck project. So we have submitted to National Treasury a request for this environment, and the National Treasury is processing our application. And on the payments for capital assets, there was an indication during the performance information presentation that we have a number of projects that are lagging behind. We are behind with 184 million, and those reasons are also talked to in the subsequent slides. On slide number 36, the slide represents the budget and expenditure on the water trading entity. The total budget for the water trading entity is 18 billion, with a significant amount of 9.3 related to TCTA for the repayment of loans that TCTA is responsible for. The total spending for the quarter is 15% on the water trading account. On slide number 37, this slide provides the total allocation the department has made for the regional bulk infrastructure grant as well as the water services infrastructure grant. 5B, those are the conditional grants to the municipalities. I'm only presenting the budget since the expenditure or the transfers will only be taking place in the second quarter. Those have been scheduled for the 27th of July and the 4th of August, respectively. So the total allocation for these two grants under conditional grants to municipalities is 7.3 billion. And there is the breakdown per province. And on slide number 38, the 6B allocation that we have under RBIC, we have, as at the end of June, spent 364 million of the planned spending. Chairperson, we had some of the implementing agents having challenges with the appointments of the contractors. For example, Renota concluded most of the appointments during this quarter, and we expect that the expenditure should be improving in the second quarter. That relates to the Gauteng province. Similarly, on Limpopo, we are engaging with Lepelle Northern Water. We had some challenges there with the procurement, but there are recovery measures that the department has put in place to ensure that these projects do come back on track in the second quarter. And on slide number 39, that is the Water Services Infrastructure Grant 6B allocation. There we managed to spend 186 million. We are actually above the planned drawings here, Chairperson. This is because of the work that we are doing mainly in Giyani as well. Also in Mpumalanga, our projects are moving faster. And we have also had expenditure under KwaZulu-Natal, as I've indicated. Those expenditures relate to invoices that were supposed to be processed in the previous financial year, similarly with the Eastern Cape. So those invoices were only paid in this current financial year, and we are expecting that National Treasury will granting us approval in the second quarter for us to cover these shortfalls. And then on slide number 40, I mentioned earlier on that we do have reprioritizations that we have applied to National Treasury for transfers to water boards, our public corporations. And this slide just provides that shift of funds in between. So once National Treasury has approved, we should be able to provide progress in the second quarter. And then on slide number 41, this slide, Chairperson, provides the infrastructure commitments just to indicate that we have actually committed most of our budget. And as we accelerate the work on the ground, there will be some reductions on these capital commitments. In total, we closed the financial year at 9.4 billion, and now we are at 10 billion at the end of June. So we should be able to spend our budget based on these capital commitments that we are having. And on slide number 42, the measures to prevent underspending, as indicated, there are various interventions that the department is implementing. One of them is the Umkhanyakude District Municipality Intervention, where we have undertaken infrastructure development. We have revised the budget there. We have reallocated a total amount of 338 million in the current financial year based on the approved business plans. This intervention started in the previous financial year. We also engaged with Val Central Water, that is the former Bloom Water, on the Balfontein and Virginia project. We have applied to National Treasury to reprioritize a portion of the transfers to ensure that we make money available for these projects. Hammans Kraal intervention project as well, the department is intervening there through Mahalis Water. We have issued out the directive to Mahalis Water, and we have reprioritized the budget, of which we are waiting for National Treasury's approval. So once National Treasury has approved the transfer, the prioritization, we'll be able to transfer these funds to Mahalis Water. But they have begun now with some of the advanced works. The second part of the presentation, Chairperson, relates to the overview of the financial recovery plan on slide number 44. We have been requested by the committee to continuously report on progress we are making on the financial recovery. It covers our budget management to make sure that we do not incur any deficits, the bank overdrafts that we had previously, that we do not have those, and we have achieved those. There are also measures for expenditure and financial governance and accountability controls. Also, alignment of our annual performance plans and budgets. That is part of the work that we are doing, that there is that alignment. I will be covering an overview of the proper expenditure of where we are, Chairperson, with the clearing of these historic balances, the work that the department is doing. Unauthorized expenditure, we have previously reported that it is currently with Parliament. National Treasury is following up, and we did bring this to the attention of SCOPA when the department was invited at SCOPA, so we are still waiting for the approval. On fruitless and wasteful expenditure, 10%, there is a significant increase on the main account. That relates to the investigations that the department has conducted on the Vaal River intervention project. There are some costs which we had to classify as fruitless and wasteful, and the department is taking the measures that are in the investigation report to put those remedial actions in place. And on irregular expenditure, on the main account, we are at 8.9 billion and the other trading entity 6.7 billion. The subsequent slide will provide an overview of where we are with this irregular expenditure. On slide number 46, on the main account, we have already allocated an amount of 2.5 that is under assessment, where we are collating information from the implementing agents and assessing the nature of those irregular expenditures. Our internal audit through the forensic unit is also busy with a total amount of 2 billion that has been assigned to them. The 8.4 billion, Chairperson, those are the cases such as Guyani that we have previously reported that are still with the law enforcement agencies. And I will also talk to those in the subsequent slides. All these are historic balances, and I will reflect the progress that we have made in terms of eliminating the incurrence of these expenditures in the subsequent slide. Slide number 47, Yan Water Services Project, as I've indicated, that matter is still with the SIU as well as the court process is underway there. Similarly with the Food and Throw scheme. And the Horn Lakes project, we are currently engaging with EWCITA. There are still issues that they are resolving between themselves with the service provider. They had to go through a mediation hearing. And once we have concluded that process, the department will be performing an assessment of performance of this program. However, I must also confirm that we have exceeded the program at phase two. So these are historic balances that we are dealing with here. Then on slide number 48, the bucket eradication program as well, and we're still busy with the closeout report in relation to the historic balances that were reported as irregular. And on financial advisory services, the matter has now been set down for hearing on the 5th of February, so we are making progress there, so it should be in court in the coming year, and we hope that we should be able to bring this to finality. The other cases that are reflected there are still with our labor relations, and we are also implementing consequence management in line with the recommendations of the investigations. And then on slide number 49, I've already indicated that we have engaged National Treasury on the unauthorized expenditure. So the total amount that we are awaiting feedback from Treasury is 755. And as indicated, these are all the historic balances. Slide number 50 and 51, Chairperson, is just a summary of the analysis of transgressions that we have identified out of these reported cases. And then on slide number 52 is our register of the condonations that we have managed to process year to date. It's a total of 2.4 billion. And we are hopeful that in this current financial year, the amount will be increasing as we conclude on most of our investigations, noting that the target date that the SCOPA is given to the department or the due date deadline is the 31st of March 2024, that we should be done with all these historic cases of improper expenditure. And then on the next slide, slide number 53, Chairperson, we are moving in the right direction as we have indicated. We do have some of the cases that we are still assessing, as I've indicated, if confirmed to be irregular, they will be reported in line with the instruction note. But currently, we can confirm that in the 22-23 financial year, we didn't have material irregular expenditures. The ones that we have reported are coming from the previous financial years. And for quarter one of this financial year as well, we haven't confirmed any incidents. Those that are still being assessed, once they are confirmed, we will report in terms of the instruction note from Treasury. Similarly, on slide number 54, on fruitless and wasteful expenditure, all the balances, the amounts that are showing on the graph, they are historic amounts that the department is currently busy finalizing the write-offs as well as the condonations in line with the instruction note. And then the trend, as we can see, it's reducing. In the 22-23 financial year, we had 59,000, for example, on the main account, and that also relates to cases that were coming from the previous financial year. And now in quarter one, we haven't reported any incident, and we are working hard to make sure that we do not have this by implementing strong preventative controls to make sure that we don't have these incidents. Whatever is confirmed will be accounted for, but we are certain that our controls that we have and measures that we have put in place will lead to zero reporting. And the next slide, slide 55, is just an extract of the irregular expenditure instruction note that we are required in terms of the instruction note from National Treasury to comply with all these requirements before we can take any measures to remove or to condone the reported irregular expenditure. Chairperson, the last slide, on slide number 56, we did also mention that we have challenges with revenue collection. This slide provides some measures that we are putting in place as a department for the sector as a whole, that we are working with the water boards as well as municipalities to try and strengthen the billing and revenue collections. We're also working with the National Treasury as well as implementation of our revenue enhancement strategy. We've been signing a lot of agreements with municipalities where they agree to honor their current accounts, and the department where the municipalities are compliant will waive the interest, right of the interest. We are also having 14 debt collectors from National Treasury's transversal contract who are helping us with the recovery of outstanding debtors. This relates more from to the companies and individuals. We are still pursuing IGR when it comes to our municipalities. Our minister as well has been working with the various mayors, consulting them. So there are all these engagements, including the intergovernmental relations forums, where we work with COCTA as well as SALGA and National Treasury to make sure that we collect as much as we can. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Vijay, that is the last slide. The other slide is just additional information.
Thank you, Chairperson.
What's the matter? Okay, he's not here. Members, Can I see your hands up for participation? Who is Stephen Moore?
Chairperson, it's Leon speaking.
Who's that?
Chairperson, Stephen Moore is a third member of the DA on the committee. Thank you.
But you will have introduced him in the meeting, so we don't know him.
You didn't give me the opportunity, Chair.
No, I did. I said people give apologies and everything else. Okay. It is him, Stephen Moore, Mary Peterson, and Honorable Seke. Honorable Moore.
Thank you,
welcome
Chair.
Welcome to the meeting. Welcome to the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. Much appreciated and sorry for the confusion. Good to be here. And exciting to see the what appears to be some very positive movement across the general trend year to year, particularly those pages 53 and 54 as we're eliminating significant movement, eliminating irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I just wanted to highlight two items as an example of issues in the report and then ask a question on the Mgeni Water budget. But first, pages 24, thank you for the report, but just to say that there's a couple of obvious copy-paste mistakes that are creeping into the report. Obviously, at this level, that's not to be expected. On page 24, I'm just going to give two examples, but there are a few. On page 24, item 5.1.6, we talk about it being under by 15%, but actually it's under by 24%. Clearly, someone's copy-pasted from a different line on the same slide. Same thing, page 30, item 3.9.3.2, we say it's under by 8. But if you just look at the numbers, it's actually 9, including 2 from a previous financial year, or else it is 8, and that means including 3 from a previous financial year. So that particular one actually creates confusion with regards to what is being reported in the report. And then my actual question, Chair, is on regards to page 40 and 42, just for clarity, because obviously I'm new in the portfolio, so just trying to understand. On page 40, we report about how we have reprioritized a significant amount of money away from Mgeni Water, over 500 million rand. But then on page 42, we talk about reprioritization measures to prevent underspending, where we are allocating 338 million to the Mgeni Utukela Water, which is, my understanding, is the same thing these days. I think they changed the name of the board, if I'm not mistaken. If I can just get some clarity on, you know, we're taking money away, we're allocating money. Could we get some clarity there? And sorry if it's a stupid question, but like I say, new to the portfolio. Thank you.
Honorable Peterson.
Good morning, Chair. Sorry that I locked in late. Chair, I've only got 3 questions to the department. On page 6, in relation to the Water Services Amendment Bill, can you please explain the proposed water services reforms? Question 2. Is the department expecting Parliament to finalize the amendments within the few months the 6th Parliament is left with before its term ends next year? And then question 3 on page 7. The department reports on the reconfiguration of the various water boards. What obstacles has the department faced or anticipates facing during the reconfiguration of these water boards, and what strategies or mitigation measures are in place to address those obstacles. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Tseke.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to everyone. Chair, let me also appreciate the presentation by the department, and also appreciate the interventions that the department is doing in different municipalities. I think we appreciate that, and we think that at the end of the day, people must be able to access water. And Chair, just a few questions that I want to raise to the department, Chair. I just want to get confirmation from the department if the service providers that have rendered the service in KZN and Eastern Cape, whether currently now, as I'm speaking, have they been paid or not? Because I heard the CFO was saying at some point they have not been paid because of the systems error. I just want to check currently, because I think this matter has been before the department for quite a long time, and probably service providers are being frustrated as we're speaking. So I just want to get clarity from the department whether they've been paid or not as we're speaking. And the other matter, Chair, it's on page 17. The report notes that there is a 40% vacancy rate as a result of the new organizational structure. I just want to check, as much as we applaud the department in appointing the engineers and the scientists within the department, but I just want to check if there's any time frame to fill the new vacancies, and what could be the financial impact of this new organizational structure going forward. On page 35, it is reported that the department has had overspent on the compensation of employees, and that it would address the shortfall through budget reprioritization. Which of the areas are going to be affected by this budget reprioritization, and what would be the impact of that on the provision of water and sanitation services to our communities? The other question, Chair, we note that the department has gazetted the notice to reconfigure the water boards. Has the department conducted public participation in affected communities to ensure that communities are not left behind? The last question, Chair, I think it's, I'm not quite sure which slide is it appearing on. The MoneyWeb News Agency reported that Rubex Pty Ltd, I think it's one of the, it's appearing in one of your slides, is challenging the tender award for Glen Williams Dam project in court, alleging that the tender has been awarded to the company that quoted the highest amount. Without venturing into the merits of the case, is the department defending the case, and what will be the effect of this court case on the said project, the Glen Williams Dam project? Thank you, Chair.
The 10-year-old Honorable Mhlala.
No, thank you so much, Chairperson. Let me take the opportunity and greet members of the Portfolio Committee and the department. It's been a long period not seeing each other, but I hope we're going to share what we found on the ground, because we're busy doing oversight. Honorable Mashego, the infrastructures are collapsing outside there. We'll share when time goes on what is happening outside. But My first question with regards to the presentation is, how many members compromise the regulator commission? Why a separate commission if there are already internal systems in place to assist with strengthening and improve an improvement of the regulatory function? Chair, the second question is, could the department provide details of the challenges and responses of communities of water boards in specific area? Can we also have a fuller report in terms of the reconfiguration of water boards in respect of modalities used, the budgets, and community concerns raised during this process? Chairperson Netlek previously raised concerns on the establishment of the National Water Infrastructure Agency. How were these addressed, and what is the current view of Netlek in establishing the agency? Chair, another question is, what is the current practice of coordinating infrastructure in the country, and how will the established agency fit into the broader framework of infrastructure development in South Africa? Lastly, Chair, with the recent BRICS meeting, was the minister involved in bilateral and multilateral discussions with the BRICS counterparts on funding for water and sanitation infrastructure? Thank you so much, Chair.
Honorable Hendrix.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Yes, Honorable Chair, we have been working the ground, and Al-Jamaa has been shocked to find that wherever we went and we nearly visited, made contact with 50 villages, there are serious problems in complying with the constitutional court order that people must, constitutional provision that people must have access to water. You know, Honorable Chair, my position that that must be changed. People must have a right to water. And it looks like the state of affairs as far as providing water is concerned is not very, very rosy. You know, Chair, I accompanied you with regard to the bucket toilets. President Mandela promised that within 1 year, everything would be solved. That hasn't happened. So I'm very worried that our department in our oversight role, maybe we've not been on the ball, and I also take responsibility for that. We are letting the nation down. We also hear now about the cholera outbreak and the many deaths that have occurred in more than one province. As an interim measure, Honorable Chair, I feel that while the minister has suggested that people boil their water, you can't boil the water if you don't have electricity. Aren't there any other ways that we can assist communities to mitigate the effect of water coming, for example, out of the taps, even if the tap is only in the backyard, there's a communal tap, water coming from tankers. There are many sanitizing products available. And shouldn't we start asking the department to investigate, number one, is there a need as an interim measure to sanitize water? You get this powder, which looks like an Enos packet. You throw it into a bucket, and 20 liters of water is as good as the water you buy in the shop, which is very expensive. And this method, it's about 1 rand a liter in cost. Shouldn't we ask the department to look at whether there is a need to sanitize water in hotspots? And secondly, what is available? Thirdly, can't we then ask municipalities to look in their budgets to assist, and also the minister to, when we do the adjustment budgets, to assist? Because it's my Al-Jamaa's view that besides just boiling the water, there should also be other remedies available. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hendricks. Just one or two questions or comments I want to make, DG and Honourable Mashobo. On the preferential chart, I take note that on the I'm not sure whether you are not achieving your targets solely on the basis of the absence of the companies that are owned by both women, youth, and people with disability. If so, don't you want to have a different approach, because it reflects bad on yourself to commit money, and that in that money you have got nobody to spend it onto. If that is the case, I'm not saying it is the case. For instance, on women, it's not necessarily bad, but it is still an underperformance. You have performed 61%. You have a target. You have achieved 61% of that particular preferential target. And that is and that was 30%. You have achieved 61% of 30%. It's not necessarily 61% of 100. It's 100 is 30, and you only achieved 61. The amount of money is 760 million rand. So you have achieved more than 400 million rand. I assume. Is it bad? If it is not bad, why do we put a bigger figure when we know there is no company to spend on this money? This money could have been given to other targets where you can achieve. For instance, on the youth also, you have achieved 32% of 15. On money terms, it is 100, the 15 is 129 million. So you have achieved 32% of 129 million. Why? If ever it is because you don't get companies of the youth, don't you want to change the strategy of allocating the money and allocate money on the basis of the need rather than on the basis of a commitment, even if the need is not there? People with disability also, we have achieved about 19% of the 15, and it is 19% of 27 million rand. These monies that are not being achieved, if it is because you have got no company to spend onto, don't you want to deviate it or to reallocate to this, to readily spending a target that you can give money unto if there is any? And it is on the basis of me assuming that you have not achieved because of the non-availability of the companies you want to give. On the dam safety, you are saying you have achieved only 9 of the 25. And the reason there is because of poor performance by contractors. But there is no plan that wants to beef up the output of that contractor to get to meet the target of that 25%. If I've missed it, please make me aware, where is that plan that needs to change that status quo from 9 to 25? In the bulk supply, the same. We are very behind. This is our mandate. Bulk supply of water is our mandate. But we are behind in terms of that particular plan. Behind by 186 million rand. And there is no plan that I have heard you saying you are going to do in order for us to achieve those. I might have missed at that point. Just taking further what Honorable Zeg was raising on the employees' compensation. You are already overspending on the money that you have, whilst you are saying there is 541 positions that are not being filled, but you have already underspent on your budget of the money. Now, if you are going to be filling those 541, we must appreciate you have filled about 60-70% of your position, especially on the engineering side. That's a very good job to be done, but there are still 541 positions on your human resource department, which is not being filled. However, you have already spent way beyond the budget that you had for 100% when 541 of them are still outstanding. How is that? What is the reason for that? Finally, just as an English, it's only for English purposes. On the transfers, you're saying that you are going to be transferring on the 27th of July. We are on August now. You are supposed to be saying you have transferred rather than you are going to be transferring on the 7th of July, and the other one is on the 4th of August. And today on the 29th of August, it might be that the report was written before the 27th of July. If that is the case, you need to upgrade your report given the status that you are now in August rather than you still being saying it in the incoming tax when it is actually in on the past tense. But as I'm saying, it is only English. You might correct it simply to mean the correct thing. Thank you very much. We might want to get answers. Honorable Mahlobo, if you want to start, you can start. If you want to end, you might end. And we allow DG Phillips to start, if that is the case. Honorable Mahlobo, are you in the meeting?
Thank you, Chair. Let's allow the DG to respond, né? I'll come at the end. Thank you.
DG Phillips?
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm going to give responses to some of the questions and issues raised, and then I'm going to direct my colleagues to respond to others. The first question that I'd like to respond to is the question from Honourable Peterson to explain the reforms that we are planning to do through the amendments of the Water Services Act. Currently, the Water Services Act doesn't give us a stronger role as a regulator as the National Water Act does for water resources. The National Water Act gives us regulatory powers, including issuing directives, and if necessary, as a last resort, to lay criminal charges against transgressors of the Act, and also to, in some instances, to rectify transgressions and then to claim the money back. So the first key area that we want to amend the Water Services Act is to make it more similar to the National Water Act, to strengthen the regulatory powers of the DWS and the Minister over water services, to give us similar regulatory powers that we have over water resources. The second, and this partly answers the question raised by Honourable Hendricks, is to what we're planning to do about the declining performance of municipalities with regard to water services. I'm going to come back to that question a bit later, but one of the reasons for amending the Water Services Act, as I indicated, is to strengthen our role as the regulator with regard to water services. And as part of that, we want to actually build on the existing provisions in the Act, which indicate that at municipal level, you're supposed to have water services authorities on the one hand and water service providers on the other hand. And in terms of the existing Act, the role of the water service authority is to ensure that water service providers provide services according to standard. But unfortunately, almost all municipalities are not playing their roles properly as water services authorities. Those municipalities which have been appointed by the Minister of Cooperative Governance as water services authorities. So we want to strengthen the role of water services authorities in terms of them ensuring that water service providers provide services to standard. The current situation is that in almost all municipalities, the water services authority has only appointed the municipality itself as the sole water service provider. And so as water services authority, the municipality has to monitor itself as water service provider. But in terms of the existing act, municipalities are supposed to separate and manage separately their functions of water services authority and water service provider, but hardly any are doing that. So to strengthen those existing provisions of the Act and to provide water services authorities with an objective, evidence-based way of assessing whether their water service providers are providing services to standard, we want to introduce an operating license system for water service providers, which will so that all water service providers must obtain an operating license from DWS, which will be an objective way of determining whether they have the capacity and capability to provide water services according to standards. Then we want to also amend Section 63 of the Water Services Act, which as it's currently written is not practical to implement. Section 63 of the Act enables the minister as a last resort to intervene in a municipality, but that intervention is in line with the constitutional interventions, where you also need to do it in conjunction with COGTA and the Premier of the province, and to take over the water delivery function in the municipality. But it's not clear in the current provisions of the Act as to what that means to take over the water function in the municipality. It's not clear whether it also includes taking over the billing and revenue collection for water and the supply chain and HR functions, which are in almost all municipalities, not in the water and sanitation department, but in other parts of the municipality. So we want to improve Section 63 so that as a last resort, the minister can appoint a licensed water service provider on behalf of the municipality. And when that happens, that will include all the water service related functions, including billing and revenue collection, so that the water service provider can be financed, because otherwise there's no financial mechanism for the water service provider, and all the other functions such as supply chain, etc. So that, and then there are also some minor amendments we want to make to the Water Services Act just to strengthen the governance of the water boards. We don't expect for Parliament to process the amendments to the Water Services Act and the National Water Act during this term of office. And we're aware that that would be unreasonable. We've been doing a lot of hard work on these amendments to the Water Services Act. As you can hear from the description that I've given, it's quite a complicated matter, and we've had extensive consultations about it, and we didn't want to rush those. So that's why it's taken us some time to develop these amendments to the Water Services Act. We're aware that with Parliament's schedule, it might only be possible for the Water Services Act and the National Water Act amendments to be finalised by Parliament in the new term. With regard to the reconfiguration of the water boards, there aren't really any substantial obstacles to implementing the reconfiguration. The reconfiguration is proceeding quite smoothly. Our bigger worry with regard to the water boards is the issue of their financial sustainability, particularly with regard to what's now called the Rand Central Water Board, which was previously Bloem Water, which has taken over, the Vaal Central Water Board, which has taken over the assets and liabilities of the former Sedibeng Water, which includes debt of over 5 billion rand from Machabeng Municipality and also debt from Mangaung Municipality. So we're very concerned that with the non-payment of debts by municipalities to Bloem, to the Vaal Central Water Board in particular, that is negatively affecting the financial sustainability of that water board. It's already put the water board in a position where it's no longer able to borrow money due to the impact on its balance sheet of taking over the liabilities of the former city being water. So this issue of the increasing debt from municipalities to water boards is an issue which is really a separate issue from the reconfiguration of the water boards. The reconfiguration of the water boards doesn't address this problem of non-payment by some municipalities of their bills to the water boards. And it's an issue which we're dealing with in through a separate process in consultation with National Treasury and SALGA and the water boards themselves. We've developed standard operating procedures for the water boards and our own water trading entity for credit control so that we can have more effective and stronger credit control over these debts owed by municipalities. And there are also other measures that we've consulted with National Treasury about, which would include, for example, collaborating with National Treasury for condition for the equitable share to municipalities to be withheld if they don't pay their debts to the water boards. The minister is currently consulting with the water boards to finalise these credit control measures to address this issue. Turning to the questions from Honourable Serki. Honourable Serki, we have a new structure which was approved by the minister, and it was a very involved process to develop this new structure and took a great deal of consultation internally in order to finalise the structure. So we don't want to change our structure frequently because it's a disruptive process. It's a very involved process and it takes a long time. So we thought that the best thing to do when we developed the new structure is to develop a structure which should meet our needs into the medium and long term. But the structure is not fully fundable now with the limited personnel budget that we've been allocated by National Treasury. We're not the only department in this situation, and the DPSA has advised us and all the other departments to capture the funded structure on PERSL, which is what we've done. And then as and when more funds become available through our personnel budget in future, we can add additional posts from our approved structure to PERSL and start filling them. At the moment, we are not in a position to fill many vacancies at all. As the honourable members pointed out, we're already using 100% of our personnel budget, so there's very little room to fill any vacancies. The only possibility is if posts are vacated through natural attrition, or through resignations or retirements. And in that case, we don't automatically fill those posts, but we look at what are the most burning priorities in the department, and then we prioritise allocation of any personnel budget which is freed up to filling the most burning priorities. So unfortunately, although we'd love to fill those engineering and technical positions, we simply don't have the budget to do so. It's not as a result of us not asking for the necessary budgets, but honourable members will be aware that Cabinet has approved policies and processes to reduce the personnel budget as a percentage of the total budget. So all departments have been provided with what is effectively budget cuts in real terms for their personnel budgets. In terms of the question about budget reprioritization, I'll ask funds to add to that in more detail. But we have, at a high level, you can think of it as that we have two types of budget reprioritization. There's budget reprioritization within our internal administrative corporate services types of budgets. So, for example, we're going to make sure that we don't overspend on personal expenditure by the end of the year by moving money from other corporate services internal administrative budgets to address that, not from our budgets for actual projects or services. So we're not going to take, for example, from the regional bulk infrastructure grant and use that money to fund over expenditure on personnel. When we do budget reprioritization between projects of our project budgets, we don't stop the projects that we were reprioritizing money for. Those are projects that we're reprioritizing money from. Those are projects which, for various reasons, are moving slower than expected, and it looks like they're going to underspend in the current financial year. So to avoid overall under expenditure on our budget, we move that money to other projects which can absorb the money, which are moving quicker than expected. And then we don't stop the projects or reduce those projects. We just make money available in the following financial year for those projects so that they can be completed. So this budget reprioritization doesn't have any real impact on the ground in terms of projects delivered to communities. So it's not necessary to consult with communities about them because it doesn't make any change to the actual water services projects being delivered to communities. It's a matter of us managing our expenditure in such a way that we don't have under expenditure in a particular financial year, because some projects have had some kind of difficulties like labor disputes or disruptions from business organizations or many other reasons. And we therefore actively manage the budgets for projects so that projects that are able to move faster use the money, which have had problems can't use this financial year. But we do still provide the necessary funds to finish those other projects. Turning to the questions from Honourable Mokhlala, the reason why we created the Regulator Commission is that in the National Development Plan, it says there should be an independent regulator for water. And the reason for that is that there's an argument that the department is conflicted because it is both implementer and regulator. So we are currently the regulator of the water resources sector in terms of the National Water Act, and we're also the regulator of the water services sector at municipal level in terms of the Water Services Act. But we also provide grants to municipalities, and in that sense, we're an implementer. And for water resources, we own and manage the water resource infrastructure. So we're both the regulator and the implementer for national water resources. And there are some arguments to the effect that it's not good governance to have to be both regulator and implementer, that there should be a separation. So for that reason, the National Development Plan had a recommendation that an independent water regulator should be established, just as there's an independent regulator for electricity and there's an independent regulator for telecommunications. However, our minister has taken the view that it's premature at this stage to establish a fully independent regulator for the water sector. He's taken the view that it's better to strengthen the regulation function within the department first, before moving it out of the department and creating an independent regulator. And as I indicated earlier, the amendments that we are proposing for the National Water Act and to the Water Services Act are part of this process of strengthening regulation. The minister has indicated that he's not opposed in the longer term to the creation of an independent regulator, but that it's premature to do so currently. But in order to address the concern that the department is conflicted because it is both regulator and implementer, the minister took a decision to in the interim, create an advisory body made up of independent experts, which is the Regulator Commission, so that we can mitigate this risk associated with us being both implementer and regulator in the short to medium term, through having an independent advisory body made up of experts, which can provide the minister and the department independent advice with regard to how it can strengthen and improve its regulatory function. So it's not doing the job of the department. It's an advisory committee. The department's regulatory branch continues to do all the work that is always done. Honourable Mokala suggested that it would be beneficial for the department to provide a full report on the reconfiguration of the water boards. Chairperson, we can be available on request at a future meeting to provide such a full report. Honourable Mokala also asked about NEDLAC and the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency BOLT. We did go through a process with NEDLAC. We took the bill to NEDLAC. There were discussions at NEDLAC, and then NEDLAC, in terms of their normal processes, decided to create a NEDLAC task team to deal with the bill, consisting of organized representatives of organized business, organized labor, and the community. That task team had a number of meetings where it assessed the bill in detail. That task team has reached the end of its work. We recently received a final report from NEDLAC on the work of the NEDLAC task team. So as far as NEDLAC is concerned, they've completed the consultation process for the bill. The report indicates that there were some areas of agreement on the bill and some areas of disagreement. The key area of disagreement was from organized labor, which indicated that generally it's not in support of the creation of independent entities, and that it would prefer for all the functions to remain within departments. But the decision of NEDLAC was to note that as an area of disagreement, and it still finalized the report. Honourable Mokala also asked how the NWRA will fit into the broader governance framework. Honourable Mokala, one way to think of this using a practical example is to think of the NWRA as a bit like a SunRail, but for the water sector, where SunRail was created in the transport sector to own and manage the national road network and to get revenues from the national road network and to use that money for further investment in the national road network and to use its balance sheet to borrow money for investment in the national road network. And I think SunRail has been relatively successful as a state-owned enterprise as a model where you have an entity responsible for a certain national function and where it has a substantial balance sheet with revenues, and it uses that to raise finance, to increase investment. So we want to do exactly the same thing as the NWRIA. Its mandate is to continue with the current mandate of the department in terms of the National Water Act, of our infrastructure branch, to own and manage and develop natural water resource infrastructure. The thing that will change is that the TCTA will be merged into the NWRIA, as will our water trading entity in the department, so that you'll now have those two entities merged into one entity, together with most of our staff from our infrastructure branch of the department. And that entity will then be fully responsible for owning, managing, maintaining, and developing and financing the development of the national water resource infrastructure. And that means that it will be able to raise more finance on the markets for more investment in natural water resource infrastructure. Currently, the TCTA is limited in the extent to which it can borrow money to invest in natural water resource infrastructure. It's reached its borrowing limits because it doesn't have a substantial balance sheet, because it doesn't have revenues of its own. It has to have its loans guaranteed by National Treasury. But now when we have the NWRIA, it will have a substantial balance sheet, it will have its own revenues, and it will be in a better position to raise private sector finance for investment in water resource infrastructure. So the overall most important goal with this is to increase investment in national water resource infrastructure. And the fiscus is constrained in the degree to which it can finance this. from the fiscus, and it's going to be very difficult for government from the fiscus alone to provide the amount of money required to do the investments in national water resource infrastructure which are required over the medium to long term if we're going to avoid having water shortages in the country and water becoming a constraint to economic growth, like electricity is currently a constraint to economic growth. So that's basically where the NWRA fits in into the broader government framework. There was also a question as to whether the minister had discussions at BRICS about financing for water. The minister did participate in some sessions at BRICS, but they weren't specific discussions around financing for South African water projects at BRICS. It wouldn't have been the appropriate forum for that. The TCTA does engage with financiers such as the BRICS Bank and the African and the New Development Bank with regard to raising finance for water projects. And there's a separate process through the TCTA for that. And once the TCTA is merged into the NWRA, then the NWRA will carry out those engagements. Turning to questions from Honourable Hendricks. Honourable Hendricks, we agree with you that there's an alarming decline in the performance of water services by municipalities on average. And our Green Drop report, which we issued last year, highlighted that decline in the performance of wastewater treatment systems. Our Blue Drop report, Watch report, which we issued in June, also indicated a decline in the quality of drinking water systems, and our full Blue Drop report is going to also verify that finding that there's been a decline in the quality of drinking water systems. There are two or three key things that we're doing as the department to address this. The first is, as honourable members will know, that the minister and deputy ministers are constantly travelling around the country, going to the poorly performing municipalities, meeting with the leadership, agreeing with the leadership of the municipality on an action plan to address the problems. We prioritise our grant allocations to those municipalities to address the infrastructure-related issues. But it's not only infrastructure-related issues. Often there are soft issues as well, which are the key cause of the problem. Our Boudreaux report, for example, shows that management issues and municipalities not hiring staff with the right qualifications, the correct qualified process controllers, not prioritising maintenance, not appointing skilled managers to manage their wastewater treatment works and water treatment works, those kind of issues are often as important, if not more important, than infrastructural issues as causes of deficiencies in water services. Then the second thing that we're doing is that we are strengthening our regulatory function within the department. We are standardising our regulatory actions across all of our regional offices so that we become more consistent with our regulatory actions. So in the past, we've been lacking in consistency, for example, where a municipality is polluting the environment through sewage spreaders. We haven't always been consistent in terms of our regulatory actions against such a municipality. So we are in the process of addressing that by ensuring that we become much more consistent and that we have better controls over our regulatory processes. We are also strengthening our regulatory function through other measures, such as, for example, developing improved and more comprehensive minimum norms and standards for water and sanitation services, which will include, for example, adding additional minimum requirements for new categories of employees at municipalities, such as the managers of wastewater treatment works and water treatment works, and not just the process controllers. And then finally, Honourable Hendricks, the amendments to the Water Services Act that I mentioned are aimed at addressing this problem in a very fundamental way, by introducing this operating license system for water service providers and the ability of the minister as a last resort to appoint a licensed water service provider or Water Services Authority where the Water Services Authority repeatedly fails to do so. Your question, Chairperson, about the reasons for not achieving the preferential procurement targets. Chairperson, we don't set aside money for certain groups to get projects. We're not allowed to do that in terms of the law. In terms of the law, all of our procurements have to follow the same process. They all have to go out on open tender where anyone can put in a bid. We're not allowed to have set aside for certain groups. So we have to put it on open tender where anyone can bid for the procurements. And then we have to, and when we advertise the tender, we have to say that of 100 points, so many points are allocated for different types of preferences, e.g. for black ownership or for BE score or for woman ownership example, for example. And we're only allowed in terms of the law for smaller tenders to allocate 20% of the points to preferences and for larger tenders to allocate 10% of the points to preferences. And then we have to, and all the remainder of the points, the 80% and the 90% of the points have to be allocated on the basis of price. So, and then we have to apply those rules when we adjudicate the tenders through our bid committees. The bid committees have to ensure that we apply those rules meticulously. And then we have to award the highest point scoring tenderer. So in the instances where a supplier tenders a very competitive price, the supplier doesn't get much points for preferences, but tenders a very competitive price, that supplier might come out with the highest points. And we have to award by law to that supplier because they got the highest points. So we don't really have, within the legal framework as it is, we don't really have power to choose which tenders get awarded to which bidders on the basis of preference. We have to just apply the formula, and then we have to award to the highest scoring tenderers. And we don't know what is going to come out until the formulas are applied, the calculations are done, and the tender is awarded. Now, the targets that we have are also not set by us. These are generic targets which are provided to us by the presidency that we have to include in our APP because the government is trying to move towards achieving these targets for the government as a whole. So they've asked all the departments to put in place these targets. So we within the legal framework as it is, we've gone as far as we can in terms of allocating the preference points. And we always allocate either 20% or 10% of the total points to these preferences. But beyond that, it has to be awarded to the highest point scoring bidder. And that is the main reason why we don't achieve the targets, because we can't do anything more than we're doing in terms of the law. And if we don't apply those things to the letter and very meticulously, we get audit queries and it gets classified as irregular expenditure. Franz, can I hand over to you to add and to answer some of the questions, please?
Thank you, DG. Chairperson, I'll start with the question around the violence. The honourable member is correct that we are shifting funds from the former Umgeni Water. Those are the allocations that have been appropriated for specific projects that are under the ownership of the Water Board. So that is correct. So we have applied also due diligence to make sure that we understand the status of those projects, where they are, also the reserves that they are having. Then in contrast, the other slide that the member was referring to, those prioritizations are within the Water Services Infrastructure Grant to municipalities. Perhaps the narrative wasn't clear. So one is to the Water Board, the reprioritization, and the other one is on the grants for, it was also through the Mhlathuzi Water Board, the former Mhlathuzi Water Board. And on the invoices, I can also confirm to the honorable member that we have paid those invoices immediately at the beginning of the new financial year. The DG approved that we could utilize the current year's budget whilst awaiting approval from National Treasury. So those were promptly paid, but we needed to also deal with the issue of the budget. And then the impact DG touched on that, on the compensation of employees. But just to add is that we are focusing more on cost containment items, as he has indicated, rather than on projects, changing the way we do business, the use of consultants, where possible, that we are minimizing those. We are managing very closely our travel and subsistence area, sponsorships, events, and catering conferences that officials will be attending. Those are the cost containment items that we are currently, or we have reprioritized the funding from whilst awaiting also the midterm budget adjustment through National Treasury. That related to the questions from Honorable Second. And I think the other question was a comment from the chairperson. We will certainly, going forward, where we have reference to future dates, we will try as much as it can be relevant to provide the status quo. I'm referring now to the issue around the July, the transfers that were scheduled in the second quarter. So we have taken note of that, and to the extent that is possible, we will reflect on those current status. I'm not sure if there's any specific matter that...
Yes, please, Frank, the issue that raised by Honourable Moore about the reprioritisation away from Mgeni and then the apparent reprioritisation back to Mgeni.
Yes, that is the earlier one. The reprioritisation from Mgeni, as indicated earlier on, is from the project that are owned by the Water Board for the funding that has been earmarked for Mgeni Water. And where we are reprioritizing back to Mgeni, it's because of that measure, DG, of the two water boards. Initially, it was Mhlathuzi Water, actually. The funds were allocated to Mhlathuzi Water. So it's just now that they are one. So that is the reason why there is an in and out.
Okay, and then there was also a question from Honorable Tepi about the service, whether the service providers have been paid.
Yes, we have indeed paid that relates to those system errors. So we have immediately paid those invoices in the month of April. You have approved those. So we don't have those as outstanding invoices.
Okay. Thank you, Impo. Can you answer the question about the court case?
Thank you very much, DG, Chairperson, DM. The question was whether the department is defending the litigation. The answer to that is that the parties have embarked into a settlement negotiation, and then they've actually reached an outcome that seems to be favorable between them. The terms and conditions of that settlement or outcome are to be confirmed by the Western Cape High Court today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Impo. And Leonardo, there were some questions for you.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, DM. The question that was asked by the Honorable Chair regarding the 9% versus the 25% as far as the dam safety project is concerned at Bloemhof Dam. Just to say, yes, we have performed slightly less than what we wanted to perform there as our own internal construction unit of the department that we have there. And the causative factor there would be in due then 2 points. The first one, that would be that we made a mistake as a construction unit there to actually move to site too quickly before the designs were complete and entirely completed. So that was one of the aspects that we internally reflected well upon, and we amended our approach by developing our own efficiency enhancement strategy with a construction unit to actually see that we can rid ourselves of all the inefficiencies that is has actually became part of the fiber of the unit. So we are in a major turnaround process with regards to the unit in terms of such let's call it mistakes that have been made. However, there's also a second causative factor which is also linked to the Honorable Chair's second question regarding the aspect of delays that actually also lead to delays in expenditure itself, and that would be linked to the procurement that we have found to be not favorable for the optimum functioning of such a construction unit. And that is the reason why we amended our internal infrastructure procurement strategy and policy within the department, where we are now also seeing that how we can get to a point of increasing the pace at which we actually progress as far as the procurement, infrastructure procurement is concerned, because the department would be the perhaps the only department really in government that is procuring as much for its own implementation with its own construction units. So that would be elements, Chair, Honourable Chair, that we've already commenced with the implementation of. And we are basically, this might be like an oil tanker being turned around. It's a slower process than we wanted to, but it's definitely amendments that can be seen or changes that can be seen. And more of this will be reported upon perhaps in terms of its progress as we progress into the year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Kalani, there was a question about the number of members in the regulated commission.
Thank you, DG. Honourable members, the commission is made up of 11 members, which are appointed from across the provinces. It's called a chair and a deputy chairperson. Their term is from August 2022 for a three-year period. They serve a number of skills from finance, economic development, development as well as engineering and scientists. So they provide advice to the minister on a number of functions as reported by the PGA. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Kalani. And then finally, Babawa, Honourable Moore pointed to some apparent errors in our report. Would you like to respond?
Yes, DG. I'll start with the one on slide 30. From a planning perspective, our annual performance plan is due at the beginning of March. So our first quarter report is therefore from April to June. So from the annual performance plan, we had planned that we should have, for example, 55 projects. However, by the end of the financial year, when we reported for the previous financial year, there were two projects that were completed. And so we could not necessarily adjust our annual performance plan to take those projects up. So that slide 30, that too indicates that even though we put an asterisk and we have underachieved by 8, meaning that the two projects were completed in the previous financial year. So by the end of March, those projects were completed and we have got completion certificates to that effect. So we cannot necessarily report them in the new financial year, even though they were planned for the new financial year because of the timing issue. So that works across the board, DG.
It also raised an apparent error on page 24.
24 on the licensing one, yes, that is an error that we will just correct going forward. Thank you, DG.
Thanks for pointing that out to us, Honourable Moore. We will endeavour to make sure that our report in future is error-free. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson?
Yeah.
No, thanks, Chair. Just as a matter of emphasis is that as a ministry, we are looking forward to the support of the portfolio committee while we are concluding this parliamentary term. In one of the key issues is more legislatively a chair. These bills that are coming to you now in fast and fury, you must be in a position to forgive us because if we don't act the manner we suggest that we act as a ministry, the sustainability of the sector is under threat. And the current fiscal regime does not have any space anymore to be able to meet all the demands we require, especially on infrastructure. Therefore, this bill that is being submitted to the speaker of the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency. And the processes we've undertaken through cabinet, through public consultation, including NEDLAC, is an important bill. We know that certain people that are mischievous will assume that we want to privatize water. But there is no intention to do that. The ministry, we want to bring the possibility of investment in water using the assets that we have in terms of consolidation. And we hope that yourself as a portfolio committee, because we are our guiding light, you will find time and space, Chair, that you handle this matter, because in that other administration, this bill was brought in very late and it could not be concluded. And then the following administration, these matters were not attended to. That will be one request that we need to put it to you, Chair. The other one about the Water Services Amendment the DG has made reference to. There's been an expectation by yourselves as a representative of our people, but also citizens themselves, that this Ministry of Water must find it easy legislatively to intervene in local government. And you know that, Chair, for us to intervene, we've always been reliant on other intervention that are provided for in law, like your Section 139 of the Constitution that must be used. But we want to make it much easier for us to do a lot of intervention, like we're intervening in many other areas, so that when that intervention is being made, it remains legally, but also the resources that we have to expend them, those resources are not declared irregular expenditures, that we need to do that. But it's going to also to be important, Chair, that as the leadership, you should note that the challenges of water services authorities to do both the function of being an authority and a provider, most of them, they've been struggling. They've been struggling, including those that have their own entities, whether it's the Joburg, with Joburg Water, and somewhere in KwaZulu-Natal, they have their own Uthukela Water and so forth. Some of these water entities are not competent enough or don't have the capability to be water services provider. That also goes beyond the provision of water, but also linking these things with the ability to solve infrastructure problems, but at the same time, attend to revenue measures. Those are some of the things that, Comrade Chair, I thought I should be able to raise. Other than that, we're on the ground, hardworking, and with your support, at least we are happy that certain villages now in Kiani, like your home and others, the Chair, water is running out of the taps now. And I hope you'll find time to go and check. With the minister, we should be going there on the 6th, just to go there to check, push Lipele, push Mopani. This week, at the end of last week, I met with all stakeholders there with your Mfuleni intervention. I know it's closer to your heart, Comrade Chair. And Minister is there today. And then on the 31st, we'll be opening more than 150 megaliters of additional water capacity that is being brought in by rainwater. We are hard at work, and with a very good accountability mechanism and oversight by ourselves, we are making progress. On the issue of the independent regulator, I think Sean has responded well. Remember, it's the first issue when you started this parliamentary term, that Salka was complaining that we're a referendum player. On our side, we've ring-fenced. We've done the incubation now of an independent regulator as a first phase, like Sean is saying. We are actually having those commissioners. They've already started giving us variable input and advice in managing these issues on how determinations have to be made around these other tariffs. But other than that, Chair, we always appreciate you to appear in front of yourselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have exhausted the participation on the item. The second item, Nosipho, it is the
adoption of the program, Chairperson.
Can you excuse us, Chairman? Yeah. You remember you did say put your approach in advance. You can leave. It does not mean that your members must also leave. They can leave if they are committed, but they can remain if they want to. With no, you, I think your apology was long said. Was long said.
No, thanks, Chair.
There is a program, colleagues, on the 29th, which is today. We are now through. Tuesday, the 5th, we are going to have a meeting. We are considering the petitions of residents of Northern Cape and north and northeastern part of Rustenburg. I must say there are also letters written to me by the Red Pairs Association about that, and I think it is Nosipho, if they are available, you might even invite them to the meeting if they want to come, just to listen to their own petition. Is that the only 2 days, Nosipho? Where are the other days? On the 11th of May to the 15th, we are study tour to China. The 19th of September, the department is briefing us on the board. The 12th, the 22nd of September, the Mopane District Municipality is giving us a report back on what Honorable Mahlobo has just spoken about. There is then the one on the, or is that the last one? The one of September 22?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. Members, there we are. I've locked myself out. Okay. Can I see hands on the program? Honorable Peterson?
Agreed, Chair.
Honorable Tech is moving for the adoption. Honorable Peterson?
I agree with the proposal of Comrade Ntseki, of Honorable Ntseki.
Moved and seconded. Is there anyone who has got a different view? None. Thank you very much. Don't we all have any minutes to be adopted? I forgot to ask you.
Where is Chairperson in the next meeting?
Oh, okay. For today, the meeting has come to an end. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for your time and your cooperation on the meeting. The meeting is duly adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.